From KERA in Dallas, Fort Worth, Denton, Texas, it's Anything You Ever Wanted to Know. Good afternoon. I'm Jeff Whittington. Our telephone number is 1-800-933-5372. Email address anything at kera.org. You can also submit your questions and answers this hour and even converse with each other via Twitter. Send me a tweet. I'm at Jeff Whittington on Twitter. It is Friday the 20th of June. Is this the last day of summer? I think it is. The first day. Tomorrow's the first day of summer. Today's the last day of spring. Right. I'm ahead of myself. It's the last day of spring today. 20th. Tomorrow's the longest day of the year, otherwise known as the summer solstice, I think. So hopefully you have great plans for all that sunshine tomorrow. But we're taking your calls, your questions and answers live today. If we can get through the beginning of the show, 800-933-5372. And by we, I mean me. Email anything at kera.org. Tweet me at Jeff Whittington. Joe in Dallas wants to know if anyone knows of a shop in DFW that does single item chrome plating of plastic. He says, I'm working on a prototype. I need one plastic item chrome plated. He says, I've only seen places online that do metal and or large production runs. So can someone help Joe out? Give us a call. 800-933-5372. Steve in Dallas wants to know if there's any health benefit to eating 93% fat-free ground turkey versus 93% fat-free beef. He adds, seems like a wash. Same for ground lamb, etc. He says a lot of ground beef is 80-20, so I get that extra fat. The question is about different animals. And this is a simple question. He doesn't want any answers about vegans, farming techniques, antibiotics, mad cow disease, or salmonella. Well, come on, man. What else would we do for an hour? 800-933-5372. Hopper emailed us, anything at kera.org. He says, while walking dogs in the Park Cities and Preston Hollow area, I frequently see city trash cans in alleys with signs on the cans asking that no poop bags be deposited in them. I was curious to know who actually owns those cans. People can be quite territorial regarding these things, but my thoughts aren't those cans for all citizens' use? They are marked property of insert city, so I can't understand why people even care. It's a trash can. But it's the trash can that's been issued to them. I guess you're technically renting or leasing that city trash can. And I guess I can understand as a dog owner who has my own city-owned trash can, when I open, quote, my trash can, it doesn't smell so great. So, I mean, if you're not a dog owner, maybe you don't want to smell that. But on the who owns the cans, I think we can probably get a definitive answer better than mine if someone will, you know, give us a call or shoot us an email or hit me on Twitter, at Jeff Whittington on Twitter. Let's go first to the phones today, to Jack in Dallas. Hello, Jack.
Well, hey there, Jeff. Hey. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I actually just wanted to call with an observation. I called right as I was planting my garden around April, mm-hmm. and I got in right at the end of the program,
okay.
and basically I bought too many tomato plants, and so I had a couple left over that I wanted to put in pots on the patio.
Right. I think I vaguely remember this, yes.
Oh, do you? Okay. My question was, should I plant them in garden soil or in potting soil?
Hmm.
And I never did. I didn't get to hear the show the next week. I don't know if it was addressed.
I don't think it was.
I went ahead and did a scientific experiment, so I did both. And I'm calling to give you my results so far.
Okay.
And garden soil is winning hands down. These pots are right next to each other, getting the same water, the same light. And the one in the garden soil is just, it seems to be thriving much better.
Just the dirt from your garden, basically.
Well, no, it's that, the bagged thing.
Oh, okay, okay.
Or that's called garden soil.
I got you. So they're both products that you purchased, potting
Correct.
Soil versus garden soil. Okay.
Correct.
Okay.
Exactly, yeah. Just as another note, I was out of town this week, and I got home, and we'd been having a little trouble with, as our tomatoes are starting to ripen, the birds come in and just peck them or The squirrels will grab them, even though they don't really like tomatoes. They'll take them. Mm-hmm. So I get home. My wife has added red and green Christmas ornaments all over the tomatoes in an effort to confuse them. So we'll see if that works.
All right. Well, report back.
Will do. It's very festive over at our garden.
Thanks for calling, Jack.
Sure thing. Bye.
Line open, 800-933-5372. Oh, let's talk next to Debbie calling from Dallas. Hello, Debbie.
Hi.
Hey there.
Sorry about the noise in the background. I'm wondering if someone can recommend a good place to buy dining room furniture. Like, I want somewhere that's like a big where something has a lot of it.
Okay.
And I'm driving my husband crazy because I can't find exactly what I want.
All right, we'll see if we get a
suggestions. I'm kind of new in town.
Okay.
So.
And you're in Dallas. We'll see if we get a couple of suggestions for you.
Anywhere in the area is fine.
Okay. All right. Thanks for calling.
Thank you. Bye.
We'll take a few. I'm sure we'll get a few recommendations on that. In the email box, we had this critter chat last week for most of the hour. And one of the questions, the standard recurring questions, the tiny kitchen ants question. And we had someone who said, use rice. And this is a listener who says, I've sprinkled cornmeal along the area where ants are coming in. And same idea as the caller who used the rice. They eat it, and the cornmeal swells up in their stomachs. So there's that. Peter in Grapevine's looking for a place to purchase a decorative iron window guard. He says, to cover a small window in my beautiful wooden entry door. He says, I've looked at the big box stores and find the selection is poor and the options are pretty bland. He says, is there a place where I can just go with measurements to look through reclaimed window guard covers or have a new one made that I install myself? The window is approximately 20 inches tall, 11 inches wide, and is located perfectly for an intruder to smash the glass and reach into the house and unlock the door from the inside. So he wants to guard it. We had a question last week about the fines varying for traffic violations. And this is from Tracy, who is from the City of Dallas Court and Detention Services, according to Tracy's email. So Tracy, I think, knows that, and as Tracy says, state law sets up fine ranges for traffic offenses. Cities, including Dallas, establish standard, quote, window fines for someone that just wants to pay. Who you are has nothing to do with that amount, of course. Your caller can go to dallascityhall.com and select to pay their ticket and then select citation search, and she'll be shown the window fine. So there's an answer on that. Sounds pretty good. 800-933-5372. Let's talk next on the phone to Lynn in Dallas. Hello, Lynn.
Hi.
Hey there.
So I'm a dietitian, not a nutritionist, and meaning that I know the science. And I heard the excellent question about 93% lean ground turkey versus beef. And my response is that if you're looking for taste, the beef is better, obviously. And the only difference between beef and turkey, if they're both the same percent lean or fat, would be the heme iron, which is the type of iron that's found in meat or animal products. And there is more of that in beef. So it's readily absorbed by the body. So nutritionally speaking, if they're both the same, 93%, the beef is a better choice, in my opinion.
Just for the nutrients. Yeah, just the nutrients.
Absolutely. Yeah. And the only difference would be that I hear some people tell me that they have a hard time digesting beef, but if that's not an issue, I would go for the beef.
All right. Hey, thanks for calling.
No problem.
Let's get an answer on this also from Ted in Dallas. Hello, Ted.
Hi, how you doing?
Hey, doing well.
Kind of follow up on that thing about the fat and the meat.
Yeah,
it's not. I've heard that it's not too different, except for what she said about that one component. But also, an extra fact is that I've heard from other doctors saying that 7% that's left in the fat, if you get a 93% fat free, it doesn't really mean a whole lot. That 7% is more than enough to cause you a heart problem if you eat too much of it anyway.
Very good, Ted. Thanks for calling.
Yeah.
All right. I got a tweet from Kara on this question. Some would, she says, consider turkey healthier than beef due to the different types of protein. And she says beef protein is linked to certain diseases, which I think was covered in the initial question email. But Kara, thanks for your tweet. You can tweet me. I'm at Jeff Whittington. You can email us anything at KERA.org. You can call us 800-933-5372. A couple of weeks ago, we had a question about what books should new Texans or any Texans, what books should they read? This was from a listener who'd moved here, planning to be here temporarily for a few years. All of a sudden, 13 years later, she wakes up and says, okay, I'm a Texan now, which is fine. There's plenty of room. Welcome, first of all. But she wanted to know, what book should I read? We got a lot of really great suggestions. And Stephen Becker and our digital editor, Eric Austin, put together a post at keranews.org called The 12 Books Every Texan Needs to Read, including books like Big, Hot, Cheap, and Right, The Big Rich, about the oil industry, Goodbye to a River by John Graves, Lone Star by T.R. Fehrenbach, which we got a lot of suggestions. One of my favorite books that I've read recently, The Sun by Philip Meyer, an incredible historical novel about the rise of a Texas family from, you know, the Comanche raids of the 1800s to the oil booms of the late 20th century. It's a great book, The Sun by Philip Meyer. Check it out at keranews.org. We're hoping that you'll have thoughts on that, and we'll share it around and, you know, let people know, because this is a great conversation. The 12 books every Texan needs to read. And I've tweeted about it. I've tweeted a link about it as well. I'm at Jeff Whittington on Twitter, so you can find it there really, really easily. 800-933-5372 is our telephone number, and that's where we find Lara. Is it Lara or Laura? I never
Lara.
Know. Lara in Fort Worth. Hello, Lara.
Hi.
Hey there.
I was calling with an answer to the gentleman who was looking for a iron window guard.
Uh-huh.
There is a store called the Old Home Store on College Avenue in the historic district of Fort Worth.
Yeah.
In Hospital District, and they collect all of the, everything that's coming out of old homes when they're being remodeled in the historic district. So they have doors, windows, hinges, knobs. They have everything you can possibly think of.
Fantastic. Laura, thanks so much for calling.
You're welcome. Right. Big fan.
All right. Hey, thank you.
Thanks.
We also got an email from Robert, who says, try the blacksmith in downtown Grapevine. He says they will build you a very nice one. And he sent us a link. It's grapevinetexasusa.com, and it looks like there's a blacksmith shop link in there. You can probably find it. It's on Main Street in Grapevine, and it's called The Blacksmith Shop. So, and according to this, they specialize in large wrought iron sculptures and architectural metalwork, which is exactly what our listeners looking for. 800-933-5372. Let's see if we have time for, you know what, we'll read an email, and we'll come back to the phones right after the break that's coming up here. John also emailed us and said, check out Old Home Supply in Fort Worth for a great supply of reclaimed building materials. And we got an email from David, who said, my mom, to secure tomatoes from critters, had me use old nylons. I would cut off a section from the leg and cover the tomato, securing it with twisters. It would fool the birds and still allow in sun and air, as well as expand with tomato growth. He says it worked every time. Well, call us with your tomato growing tips or whatever, 800-933-5372. You can email us anything at ketyare.org, and you can tweet me at Jeff Whittington on Twitter. We'll be back. It's anything you ever wanted to know on KERA in Dallas, Fort Worth, Denton, Texas. I'm Jeff Whittington. Our telephone number is 800-933-5372, and that's where we find Dale in Dallas. Hello, Dale.
Hello.
Hey there.
I have an answer for the fellow who has the one-off prototype product that he wants to get chrome plated.
Yeah.
tell him they've changed names. They were bought out by another company, but tell him to Google bunker, like the golf term bunker in the bunker.
Uh-huh.
Bunker Plastics in Grand Saline, Texas.
They do
all sorts of mirrorizing of acrylic and plastic pieces, and they used to make signage and stuff. They were bought by another company, but they're still doing the same work. You know, like all the security domes and stuff that you see in stores, the mirrored domes. So it looks just like chrome.
Fantastic. Hey, so Bunker Plastics.
Yeah, it'll be a different company name, but you'll see the history where they were purchased, and I can't remember the company that bought them.
Got it.
But a fellow who's the head of operations down there, David Sullivan, if he can get a hold of him there, he can either say, yes, we will do a one-off for you, or he can probably steer him to somebody else who can, maybe even in Dallas.
Great. Hey, thanks for calling, Dale.
Sure.
We had a correction via Twitter from Heather, who says, hey, Old Home Supply is not in the hospital district in Fort Worth. It's in Fairmount. And apparently it's in hashtag Fairmount, because this is Twitter world here, Twitterverse, on College Avenue. So thanks for that correction, Heather. We also had an email on this chroming plastic possibility. Amy says, try Baldwin Metals. Looks like they're in Dallas. Baldwin Metals. And they're at baldwinmetals.com. So thanks very much for that. And here's another answer from Robin, who says forecast3d.com. Forecast3d.com are a local rapid prototyping service. They do all sorts of 3D printing, CNC machining, short-run casting and model making. They might offer small-run vacuum metallization or film disposition for chrome on plastic. So forecast3d.com, Baldwin Metals in Dallas, and then Bunker Plastics, the new name, which we don't know, but somebody could probably find it. 800-933-5372. Email anything at KERA.org or Twitter. I'm at Jeff Whittington. Oh, and let us know what you think, what you think the additions to the list of 12 books every Texan needs to read. So far, we've heard from a couple of people in the comments on at least one place where I've posted it. The greatness of Bill Holston has commented some extra suggestions I'm trying to pull up here, which I will do as soon as the computer allows me to. Let's go next on the phone at 800-933-5372 to Patrick in Dallas. Hello, Patrick.
Hi, Jeff.
Hey
there. Are you there?
Yeah, right here.
I have an additional comment on the dog waste pickup thing that came up. I live on a corner, and the walking trail up here in North Dallas is two blocks behind my house. And I see a great number of dogs and their owners walk by.
Mm-hmm.
And since I'm on, we have alley pickup garbage up here. And since I'm on the corner and my cans are visible, I see a great deal of waste coming into my cans that's not mine.
Right.
I've got to admit, I'm a little bit amused because what's usually picked up in is like a leftover newspaper wrapper or something like that. But
that's the New York way. You know, you just drop the section you've already read underneath your dog when it starts, right, and then pick it up.
When the city picks up the garbage here, they just reach in and pull out the large bag. They do not dump the can over and pull anything small out of the bottom of it. So
that could be problematic. Yeah, that could be problematic.
Deal with whatever it is again.
Mm-hmm.
And, it's also real amusing to see somebody use the recycle bin for that stuff. I'm not sure that the city can recycle that.
But. Yeah, I don't think so. I don't think so. Well, that's the whole idea behind these, and somebody will correct me if I'm wrong, because I've been doing this show for a while. The whole idea behind these cans on wheels that the cities have gone to was, A, to, reduce your pickup to once a week, right? You have once a week. Is that right?
That's correct.
Because that's what we have where I live. It's once a week, and you have the recycling can and the garbage can, And it also is, you know, if we don't have to use, you know, the big garbage bags, and it also keeps the garbage from getting spread out by animals, et cetera, et cetera. But sometimes you're right. They don't dump the can all the way because they look inside, they see the a bag or they see something large, they pull it out, throw it in the thing. And
the city only picks up the large bags. They don't go digging into it for anything small that's down on the bottom. It's not like they're using a machine that tilts the whole thing over like it's a major dumpster at the school across the street.
Right.
They just grab the bags and throw them in the garbage truck. So what I'm having to do is deal with it again. Also, living on a corner, you would not believe the garbage that's thrown and left by cars that that go by. It's just unbelievable.
Well, maybe you can put a nice note or you know, talk to your you know, your garbage pickup team and just ask them if they'll, you know, dump your can out for you more often than just reaching in.
I can try that. Yeah. I think, really, honestly, it's just people who don't want to go the extra mile to carry their own
back to their house, yeah.
Pet stuff back and deal with it themselves. Well, they just want to get it out of their hands as soon as possible.
Well, thanks for the perspective, Patrick. I appreciate it.
Okay, thank you.
All right. 800-933-5372. Email anything at kera.org. Yes, Bill commented on the 12 books every Texan needs to read. He says he'd take Mishner off, but instead put Bedichek's Adventures of a Texas Naturalist, one of Frank Dobie's books, which I think we had suggested as well, or Robert Caro's first volume of the LBJ biography, which I think is the obviously, it's the first third of the trilogy, so it would have been a nice historical picture of Texas in the early 20th century, or Texas politics in the early 20th century. Email anything at kera.org, where you can send us your questions and answers, or your thoughts on Texas books. Read the list at keranews.org, and if you have additions, let us know. We'll add to it. The post could change. It could be the 79 books that every Texan needs to read. This is from someone, B, in Fort Worth, who wonders if anyone knows someone, I'm assuming in Fort Worth, who makes life and or death masks. We got an email from Barbie, who says, I just wondered if our current drought is conducive to what seems to be a chigger boom in my area. Barbie says, I live next to the Greenbelt in Carrollton, and a neighbor and I have been trading chigger war stories, and it just seems to me that they might enjoy this dry season. Any ideas would be appreciated. 800-933-5372. Let's talk next to a very patient caller, Susanna in Dallas. Hello, Susanna.
Hey, Josh.
Hey there.
How are you?
Doing well.
Good. I was just calling about the lady who was asking about furniture for a dining room table.
Yeah.
I was going to suggest Wisteria over by Love Field. They have a lot of really reasonable furniture there that has a lot of style to it, so I think it's worth a shot. And they have good warehouse sales, and they also have a clearance section in the back that's got great stuff.
Very good. Tell us what it's called one more time.
Wisteria.
Very good. Like the plant.
Yes, exactly. And then I also had a book suggestion, too.
Okay, cool.
I'll Gather My Geese by Hallie Stillwell.
Oh, yeah. She was down in far west Texas, the Big Bend area.
Exactly.
Lived a long time down there and as you know, as part of the Stillwell Ranch family down there.
Yeah, it's a great biography.
Great. Hey, thank you so much for calling.
Yeah, no problem. Have a good day.
Line open, 800-933-5372. And up next is Diane in Carrollton. Hello, Diane.
Hi, Jeff. How are you doing?
Doing well.
Good, great. Hey, I'm looking for an organic recipe to try and control fleas that we're seeing in our yard area. I was wondering if anybody could help me out with that.
All right, great. So a non-chemical
yeah.
approach for fleas. All right.
Well, right. And if possible, you know, something that would have minimal effect on other insects. You know, that we have and like to have.
Well, I know right now as we're talking, if she's listening, a listener in Fort Worth is typing beneficial nematodes into her an email to us.
Right.
And I'm talking about Maggie in Fort Worth because she's called about this before or emailed about this before. So you might look up that. The one issue with the beneficial nematodes is that, you know, it's getting hotter. So, you know, you have to spray them and then keep them moist. But I think they will, they might even deal with the chigger problem that we had with the previous emailer. But we'll see, look into that, and we'll see if we get some other suggestions for you as well.
Great, great. And one more thing, too. Yeah. I agree with you completely on The Sun. That was just an awesome book.
Oh, yeah.
I really enjoyed it. So a lot of good history there, and everybody should take the time to read that.
I was actually regretted that I waited so long to read it, actually, because it came out last year.
Right.
And then I put it down and immediately started digging around for a copy of S.C. Gwynne's Empire of the Summer Moon, which came out like 5 years ago, and I found it. And I've been reading that, and it's really it's really an interesting take on specifically kind of the end of the Comanche era in the United States. But anyhow,
I'll look into that.
Books are fun.
For sure.
Books are fun.
Yes, I love it.
Thanks for calling.
Thank you, sir.
Line open 800-933-5372. Email anything at kera.org. LJ emailed us this morning and says from Dallas, with the world battling malaria, many places battling West Nile virus, dengue fever, and the new fever coming from the Caribbean, etc., why don't we focus on eradicating mosquitoes? Says, even if they have some beneficial aspects, can those possibly make up for all the human tragedy they create? It's a good question. The first one, you know, about focusing on eradicating, I think really the question is control. It's kind of like the, I'll gingerly wade into this. It's kind of like the vaccination debate. You know, vaccinations are based on herd protection. The people who can't get vaccinated because they're allergic to it or whatever are protected by all the people who can, who do get vaccinated from diseases. And I think the mosquito issue is the same way. If we just keep, you know, mosquitoes provide a lot of food for fish. For bats and other really important animals, and they're part of the whole ecosystem. And I'm sure there's a scientist listening who can give us a little bit better or a little bit more authoritative answer to this. We actually do need mosquitoes for a healthy ecosystem, but control is in an environment where we've built out so much and removed so many natural water-based ecosystems, where there are predators for mosquito larvae and more habitat for things that eat mosquitoes, I think that, you know, we have to actually step up and do things to control them. So, you know, making sure there's no standing water around, or using the non-toxic mosquito dunks, or getting those little mosquito fish. And, you know, if you have a water feature, keep those little mosquito fish in there. Those are some of the solutions, at least, that I've looked at. So, but we'll see if we get some answers on this, because I love that kind of discussion. You know, if we're going to change the ecosystem, then we actually have to, which we've already done, by the way, we have to actually step up and kind of mitigate some of the more negative aspects of that. Okay. Now, you're next. 800-933-5372. Hey, let's talk to Bonnie in Dallas. Bonnie's actually next.
Hi, Jeff. Hey, I have a suggestion for the 12 books on Texas.
Yeah.
And the author is A.C. Green. He's a Texan and a Dallasite, and he wrote a book about West Texas called A Personal Country. And it was very well reviewed and a bestseller. I also have a suggestion for the woman who wanted help with her fleas. As the daughter of a veterinarian, she might try her nearby veterinarian for some suggestions.
Very good. Hey, thanks for calling.
You're welcome. Bye.
We did get I got a tweet from Maggie who says, "Ha, I don't need to call in anymore." Maggie says, in hot weather, apply the beneficial nematodes in the evening after a good soak. So if you wait for a good rainstorm, which we'll probably get, hopefully, you know, another couple of good rainstorms the next few weeks, and then you can apply the beneficial nematodes. I think you put them in a sprayer and spray them in the hose sprayer. And they're little critters that eat the bad critter. They help balance out the bad critters. So I think that would be a good solution for fleas and chiggers, et cetera. 800-933-5372. Let's check the clock, and let's go ahead and talk next to Joan in Plano. Hello, Joan.
Hello.
Hey there.
The reason I'm calling is that I'm calling out of a sense of frustration as a person who has tried to sell my home since early March. And here's my question. I told your reviewer, how much weight is put on a quote-unquote inspector that comes through the house? Now, the reaction that we've gotten to our house has always been and still is pride of ownership. Everything's been replaced. The house looks beautiful. I get reactions like this from everyone that comes through, whether they're realtors or prospective buyers. But yet, in March, we had an offer fall through because it was based on what the inspector said. And so now we're in the process again, and we had another inspector. We had a second offer, and the inspector, it's a different inspector. I will note that both inspectors are in their late 80s, and they're not licensed like air conditioning people or heating inspectors, but yet the things they find, they just seem like they're not, they're really, I don't know what to call them, but it just seems to me nitpicking.
Sure.
And many times they don't know the city code, and it's just very frustrating as a seller.
Yeah.
And I'm wondering what can a seller do to sell their home if every time they try to sell it, the obstacle is what the inspector says on his report?
Well, we'll see if we get some suggestions. I'm sure there are some agents out there that are listening and can maybe give us some suggestions for you.
Well, thank you so much. It's
you
been
bet.
A really frustrating
you
experience
bet.
Trying to sell.
Well, we'll see
thank
if we
you.
We'll see if we get some suggestions for you. I know I've heard of people who are selling going in and having their home pre-inspected, right? I mean, is that something that I don't know. We'll throw it out there for the real estate professionals who are listening right now to call 800-933-5372. To email anything at kera.org. Tweet me. I'm at Jeff Whittington on Twitter. And check out our post at kernews.org. It's called The 12 Books Every Texan Should Read, something like that. But you can weigh in, share it around, and let's keep that conversation going because, after all, books are fun. We'll be back. It's anything you ever wanted to know on KERA in Dallas, Fort Worth, Denton, Texas. We are talking a little bit about the books that every Texan should read today, revisiting a thread from a show 2 weeks ago. We put a post up. Stephen Becker, our producer, and our digital editor, Eric Austin, put together a post at kernews.org. You can weigh in there, kernews.org. You can do it on the Twitter. I'm at Jeff Whittington. You can email us. You can call us. But we're talking about the books that every Texan should read and other things. And let's go back to the phones right now and talk about some of those other things. 800-933-5372 is where we find Michael calling from Garland. Hello, Michael.
Hey.
Hey there.
I just recently moved into Texas, and I discovered something I've never seen anywhere else. It's watering your foundation with soaker hoses. I've never heard of this before. Is it effective in order to keep your foundation in the correct place? And how often and how much are you supposed to water? If it's a waste of water because of drought conditions and everything, it's not something that I'd like to do. But if it keeps the house stable, then it's probably worthwhile.
Yeah, well, we'll see if we get an answer for you.
Awesome.
All right,
thank you.
Thanks for calling. Up next at 800-933-5372 is Marla in Dallas. Hello, Marla.
Hey, Jeff, how are you?
Doing well.
Love your show, by the way.
Thank you.
I had an answer for all these fleas, chicks, chigger, and mosquito problems
that
are calling in about. We have a product out that's in about a dozen stores now called Bug Bouncer. You can go to the website bug-bouncer.com, and it's an essential oil-based product that also uses witch hazel to keep away fleas, ticks, mosquitoes, chiggers, all that stuff. So we're about a dozen stores in town, so I encourage people to check it out.
Thanks for calling.
Thanks.
Right. Bye. Line open, 800-933-5372. We'll get one more on this from Michelle in Dallas. Hello, Michelle.
Hi, Jeff. Hey, yep. I'm going to back up Maggie here on the beneficial nematodes.
Okay.
And they will take care of any insect whose part of its life cycle happens underground, so grubs, chiggers, fleas, ticks, fire ants. Our yard is completely clear of them. We put a beneficial nematode twice a year. In the summer, yes, you don't even have to wait for a rainfall. Just water your lawn in the evening, which is in Dallas, we can't water until 6 p.m. anyway.
Right, right.
And then go out and apply the nematodes. And we don't use a hose and sprayer. We put ours in a watering canister, mix it up with a bunch of water, and just sort of splash it around and then water them in, and they'll spread themselves out in your yard. And so I think in your studio you should have a big sign that says, bugs outdoors on the ground, beneficial nematodes, mm-hmm. and then another sign that says, bugs inside that aren't flying, food-grade diatomaceous earth. Because
we just called the show that, yeah.
Yeah.
Food-grade diatomaceous earth with beneficial nematodes.
With beneficial nematodes, that's,
Fridays
it.
That's at
pretty
noon.
Much everything you need to kill anything that's got a flying insect, and it won't harm the beneficial insects. So.
Very good. Hey, thanks for calling.
Yeah, thanks much. Bye-bye.
For the flying insects, we'll say, you know, dregs of wine in a cup overnight or something like that. Or what was it? Dish soap. And we did that show last week, although we'll probably do it again. Probably do it again next week. Let's see. Lots of emails have come in. Lots and lots of emails have come in. Let's see. This is from Kent, who says, I've just moved here from Olympia, Washington, with a huge hardcore punk scene. And I was wondering if there are any do-it-yourself spaces around the area I could go to check out, like art spaces or music spaces. There are some. We'll see if we get some suggestions for Kent. There is the Creative Arts Center, which is sort of a school slash collective kind of place. There's the original Dallas do-it-yourself arts space, which actually has an open call show up right now, I think called Hot and Sweaty 3, and the place is called 500X at 500 Exposition in Dallas. It's an artist collective gallery and studio space that's been around for like 3 decades or longer, I think, possibly. So that's, check out 500X, Kent, which is right in the heart of, right between Deep Ellum and Exposition Park, which is kind of in Dallas, sort of the heart of the punk scene. And then in the North Oak Cliff area, there's a bunch of there are a lot of galleries in Deep Ellum, Exposition, the Design District, and North Oak Cliff also has kind of a new sort of do-it-yourself kind of thing happening as well. But we'll get some suggestions for you also. This is from Suzanne in McKinney, who says, for the guy wanting window bars, try the Habitat Restore, part of Habitat for Humanity. Suzanne said they have tons of donated building supplies and furniture. Proceeds benefit their charitable work, and they have many locations across the Metroplex. And for the listener wanting a dining table, Suzanne suggests the Amish Furniture Store in Frisco. She says their work is amazing, and they can custom build just what you want, Suzanne says. So check out the Amish store in Frisco. This is from Margarita, who wants to know, why do cities limit parking at meters? Dallas meters have a 2-hour limit per vehicle per meter at meters near the courthouses. Why do they do that? And one more on the scrolled iron window protector. This is from Danielle, who suggests Or Reed Wrecking Company on Rock Island in Dallas. It's right down, it's near the old Longhorn Ballroom. Speaking of Dallas punk history, it's right down there, off of what used to be Industrial Boulevard. So Or Reed, ORR-REED Wrecking Company. They are a reused space that has lots of stuff out of old houses and buildings. And this is from Jeff, speaking of recycling. He says, I'm looking for a place I can either donate or recycle a box of old AC adapters. He says, I must have 30 or 40 of various voltages and shapes. I hate to just throw them away. He says, I also have lots of laptop chargers and small electronic parts. He says, in Denton, they used to take electronics and TVs, but they stopped. I'd love to find someone that could put them to use. I'm hoping to catch part of the show today. He says, how do I find out if people had good answers if I'm not able to listen? Well, Jeff, do the podcast. And you can find a playlist. We did reboot our website, KERA.org, And the anything page is at kera.org/anything. But we have a playlist there now, and we're going to have at least the last 10 shows right there for downloading and listening all the time. So in a couple of hours, you can go on line at kera.org/anything, and you can listen to today's show. 800-933-5372. Let's get a couple more calls in here. Let's talk to Phil in Dallas. Hello, Phil.
Hello, Jeff.
Hey there.
Question about legal resources. I was pulled over in a small town speed trap, and the officer gave me a ticket and then asked if he could look in my trunk, and I said no. And he said, we can do this the easy way or the hard way. And he reached down and popped open my trunk, looked in, closed it, and said, you're free to go. And I was too astonished to say anything, which is probably a good thing. But by the time I got home, I was plenty angry. But I can't afford to mount a lawsuit like that. Are there organizations that handle those kind of pro bono civil rights problems in Dallas?
Well, you've asked. We'll see if we get an answer for you.
Okay. Thanks. Hey,
thanks for calling. I really, really appreciate the call. Let's see. Up next, let's talk to Lou in Ovilla. Hello, Lou.
Jeff, how you doing today?
Doing well.
Good. I think I heard you say that you are reading Empire of the Summer Moon.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've read it. Excellent, well-researched book, and he doesn't pull any punches.
Yeah, and Sam Gwynn is he's a friend of the show. He's been on the show a few times. Used to write for the Morning News, and we had him on actually on the Think Show for that book a couple of years ago.
Right.
So yeah, it's really great.
I listened. Yeah, it's an excellent book. A couple things.
Mm-hmm.
A gentleman just called in about the Water Foundation watering.
Yeah.
In my opinion, I think it's a waste of time because I believe that if you're concerned about the shifting of the earth around the home, you got to go out further than right around the foundation. That's my approach on it.
Very good.
See, because people will put hoses right around the foundation. I think you got to do the whole lawn out there, in my opinion.
All right.
Hey, one other thing, a tip. We live on some property and farm animals. Up until about a year and a half ago, we've always had rat problems up there. They would come in, of course, ideal place for them to
sure.
habitat.
Sure, sure.
And I start putting oil of peppermint on cotton balls, and it was advertised to repel rodents. We haven't seen a rat up there for a year and a half.
Hmm.
So just a tip.
Very good. Hey, thanks for calling.
Hey, take care.
All right. Up next, 800-933-5372 is Mark in Dallas. Hello, Mark.
Hi, Jeff.
Hey.
I'm the lady asking a question about what she should do about a home inspection. I'm a home inspector, and I'm always saddened when I have to report bad news to my buyers. And, of course, it does actually, you know, cause the sale to stop. You mentioned getting a pre-inspection.
Mm-hmm.
That is essential, especially if you've got an older house, because then you can actually present the report to any buyers, and you can say to them, look, we've done this pre-inspection, and we found this is what we found. Now, you can choose to fix them or not, okay?
Yeah.
You might decide you don't want to fix them, in which case you say, well, I've found all these things, and we've adjusted the price to take account of them, and if your inspector finds them, it's not a good reason. It won't be a reason to pull out of the sale because we've told you about it. And we'll only accept you pulling out the sale if you find something of significance in terms of structure of the building and everything. So what you're doing is you're really carrying out an exhaustive inspection, and then you choose to actually fix it or not.
Right. And some inspectors are better than others. I mean, you know, everybody's people are all people. So, you know, sometimes things get missed.
Yes, that's right. But the thing about it is all inspectors in Texas have to be licensed. They're licensed by TREC. And they have to follow the TREC standards of practice. The standards of practice contain something like over 3,000 items
mm-hmm.
that a home inspector is expected to look at. Now, the degree and the skill of every home inspector varies. I mean, if you've got a home inspector that was qualified last week, then he's not going to be as good as a guy that's been doing it for 10 or 15 years. Unless somebody has been doing it for 10 or 15 years, there was a time when I was qualified last week, and I did the best I could.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, that's one of the things you've got to do. The other thing, too, is that the inspectors are also vary in their background and education. Most of the inspectors working have a background perhaps in building or some sort of construction. Then there are home inspectors that have backgrounds as engineers and understand fundamentally the issues in building science. And you could choose. You choose because you'll pay a lot more for an inspector with that type of background
right.
than you will that somebody follows the standards of practice only and doesn't go beyond it.
Well, thanks, Mark. Thanks for calling. Thanks for the perspective, too.
One thing actually just on the foundation.
Oh, yeah.
That's essential. These hot soils in this part of the world are called expansive soils.
Clay. Expansive clays, yeah.
Well, no, it's even more important than that. What it is, actually, it binds with the water molecule inside the clay itself, so it's chemical bonding. And as the soils dry out, they crumble. And as they crumble, the support that you've got under the foundation disappears. It is not, you can't actually fix it by just watering your garden lawn. What you really need is a soaker hose, preferably one that's below the ground, that delivers a small amount of moisture on a daily basis to keep the soil hydrated. It wants to be about 18 inches from the foundation. Now, you know about the second law of thermodynamics, I know, where you know that heat flows from hot to cold. Well, there is also a law that involves the water. And water flows from a dry area, from a wet area to a dry area. And naturally, it's drawn under the foundation, hydrates the soil, and protects your foundation. And I would recommend everybody did it.
Very good. Well, hey, thanks for calling.
Thanks a lot. Bye-bye.
We got a couple on this as well from the email box, anything@kera.org. That pretty much agreed with what Mark just told us. We also got an email from Ryan who in Denton who says parking meters, answer the parking meter question, parking meters are designed to be inconvenient, to force people to move their cars frequently. He says this so that more people will be able to access street side shops in a given day. The more people who park on a main street in a day, the better business is for the small businesses in that city. Therese reminds us, the Art and Seat calendar is a great place for, this is for Kent, I think, who's new to the area, to check out the music and music scene and all things art related. And we got something from somebody who says, I think they were, your listener was asking about the music scene. And this is from Sean. He says, for the callers looking for information on the local DFW hardcore punk scene, he might want to check out 1919 Hemp Hill in Fort Worth. The North Texas Hardcore Facebook group has lots of information on shows that are going on in the area as well. Heather said for punk, Kent should check out Warehouse Fort Worth. So there you go. Another hour of show, which is produced by Stephen Becker. Today, anything you ever wanted to know is engineered by Alan Roberts. And, of course, Fiona Norton answers your phone calls. Christine McConnell produces the podcast, which you can find at kera.org/anything. And of course, you can email us your questions and answers for next week to anything@kera.org. Or better yet, get on the Twitter, where I will occasionally issue a tweet or two as well. I'm at Jeff Whittington. You can send your questions and answers and keep the conversation going on Twitter as well. Thanks so much for listening, though, today and for writing and calling in. And everybody have a great, great first weekend of summer.